Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
It was a fun Grizzlies game last night. It went pretty late. Did you stay up?
Yeah, I stayed up. I mean, it could have gone later. There were no free throws in the first half. We did have some unnecessary altercations that required video review, so that slowed it back down again.
First half flew, second half drag.
Yeah.
Felt like
Grayson Allen got involved, and then that just slowed everything down.
Yeah, I know.
He's
known
to
trip up a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
You missed the rim shot, Jeffrey. Get on your game. There we go. Yeah.
Sorry, we don't have Zoom anymore, and so I'm trying to get everything set up for Kevin next segment, and it's going.
Man, I was joking. I didn't expect you to come through like that.
I know.
Good job.
Obviously, it was a fun one for a number of different reasons. The Grizzlies, I thought the theme was just survive a game on the road like that.
Yeah.
What did you make of just the pace and the style?
For a team like the Grizzlies right now, they're not the Oklahoma City Thunder. News alert: any road win is a good win, right? Any road win, you're playing a team that's not good, but it's a team that has Devin Booker, who has been averaging 30 points a game, and that's a real dude. And so you're on the road against a team with a real dude. They were favored by, I actually looked at it yesterday, they were favored by 1.5 points, right? So this was considered a toss-up game. Even all of that said, watching it, to me, it felt like they should have grabbed a hold of the game a little bit stronger than they did. And in the fourth quarter, where it felt like they were finally getting some separation, then Ja and Jaren both go to the bench, and it becomes basically a tie game or a single possession game again, and they come back with 4 minutes to go, and at that point, anything can happen in a game. I felt it was a weird Ja game to me in that probably his best box score line of the season in totality, but to me, it felt like he never really sort of took control of the game until the very last moment when he had to, and then he just did, you know? And so, mission accomplished.
I thought he was good in the fourth quarter, though. Late in the game, he was the player that found
Well, he was good for a lot of the game. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put up 28, 8, right, and 7 or whatever. But it just didn't feel like – it felt like – and this is a testament to his talent. It felt like he was coasting a little bit and coasting his way to, an incredible stat line a little bit to me.
Yes. But late in that game, I mean – it wasn't just a shot.
I think if they had played him, and I'm not saying they should have, but if they just played him through the fourth, I think they may have ended the game and he could have sat the last 3 minutes. It could have been one of those kind of things.
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was another good performance by Cedric Coward, obviously.
Yep.
But it wasn't his best
My guy's got alley-oop dunks now two nights in a row.
Yeah,
This team needs more dudes who can just rise up and slam it down. Santi Aldama alone is not enough, you know. Other than Ja, someone's got to catch the passes. And so Cedric Coward, man, we get the first one was from the one last night was from Conchar. Then I think he had one from Javon Small earlier in the season. We finally got the Ja Morant to Cedric Coward transition alley-oop dunk. First of many.
And then we'll get eventually Zach Edey back, and then they'll have three guys that can jump and dunk it on a Ja Morant lob. But I thought.
I don't know if Edie needs a jump, but he can
stick
dunk
his arm up. And
right, right, right.
I thought one of the more underrated plays of the game was on the Devin Booker miss while the Suns were up by one. That was not an easy rebound.
No, that's a stick your nose in and get the ball. Yeah,
and he really skied for that one. And I also thought, you know, I don't know what you just to break down the last play in general, the Ja Morant game winner. It was also pretty smart of Santi to pass it to Ja, I guess, when he did.
Well, he tried to do that just before it had a turnover, right?
Right.
And so execution matters. But yeah, the thing about Santi had a couple bad plays like that. One, I came up with the term "not quite highlight" in honor of Ja Morant, but Santi had a not quite highlight.
I know exactly
with the baseline full spin behind the back bounce pass to Jaren in the corner that got intercepted. I applaud the effort. I like
that would have been the highlight of the season.
Yes, I'm in favor generally of dudes trying stuff, and I think sins of aggression to me are better than like sins of meekness or whatever, and so. Santi had a couple of bad plays, but it was byproducts of he had a really aggressive game, and the positives overcame the negatives with him playing aggressive basketball.
Do you make anything of like, I don't know, Santi was one of the guys getting called out for letting Draymond punk him, right?
Yeah.
And he did respond. Like,
yeah, he had a good game.
Do you think
10 rebounds in 20-something minutes off the bench? They need that.
Do you think it's mostly just like nonsense when people bring up like the toughness question and all that?
Oh,
or do
I
you think it's
no.
Think there's some real.
Yeah, I mean, I think players have different styles and different games, and he is more of a skill finesse player. He just is, and I'm, you know, you could be an all time great player. Pau Gasol was kind of like that, you know, another thin Spanish 7-footer who the Grizzlies had, and people complained forever that he was a finesse player. I was always like, yeah, that finesse player is averaging 22, 9, and 4 and 2 blocks. And, you know, what are we doing here? Santi is more of a skill finesse kind of player. But, you know, he is capable when you rev up. I mean, his play of the season was blocking Zion Williamson late in the opener, right? And so I think, I last season people remember Desmond Bane yelling at him to play better defense, right, on the sideline. I think Santi needs to – all players have things they need to do better at, and he needs to be more consistently aggressive and more consistently physical to the degree he's capable of being so, right? He's not going to be Draymond Green, but he can be a more physical version of himself, and I think that would be to the betterment of himself and the team. So, yeah, I think that's a legitimate thing to bring up.
He does seem to be a player that can get, like, revved up by the opponents.
Yes.
I think that might have been targeted by Draymond.
Yeah, and I think that's good, you know?
Yeah.
I think, you know, you have to channel emotion, but if you can channel emotion, I think a lot of players play better, you know, when you know, Ja certainly does.
Yeah. Back to the last shot. So I saw the stat last night. Ja has 8 go-ahead scores in the last 10 seconds of the game since 2019.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum has 9.
How good would he have to be at that over the course of a whole season, if let's say he plays 67 games, how good would he have to be over the course of a whole season at that for people to be willing to vote for him for like on this like Clutch Player of the Year award? I think he'd have to overcome a lot of you know bias that's been created against him, but like he kind of is that guy.
Yeah, no, he is, but the difference between Jason Tatum and Ja Morant is Ja shooting 50% on those shots.
This is my point.
Jason Tatum shooting 27% on those shots. And I don't know, like Clutch Player of the Year is a season award, right?
Yeah.
It's not a
and it's
career
award
achievement.
It's an award no one cares about, but I'm just saying, when I saw that, I just thought about like, what's the willingness to like, to give Ja his laurels for that.
If we were just to dissect those particular moments, what do you think makes Ja so good?
Well, I think he can, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the shooting, developing, not developing. He finally hit some last night. There's a lot of talk about is can he still get to the rim the way he did earlier in his career? Does he want to still get to the rim? Is he not dunking because he doesn't want to dunk? Self-preservation? Is he just not as explosive? The one thing that hasn't changed and I don't think is going to anytime soon, the combination of handle and quickness. Quickness is a little bit different from explosion, right? The combination of handle and quickness, he can find a spot in the lane to get off a floater or mid-range jump or something like that whenever he wants to, for the most part. So his ability to create that shot is at a super elite level there are very few other players, if any. You know, SGA is a different kind of thing. But there are a few players who can create that shot basically whenever they want. And to me, he is the fill to make it. And so I just think that is, you know, if you're looking for what is the most special, the individual most special thing about John Morant, I mean, I always point to his vision and all of that. But the single thing that's most, the highest level thing that he has is probably that combo of handle and quickness to get to a spot like that, to get a shot like that off anytime he wants.
I am particularly impressed by his instincts in those moments.
Yeah, no, that's another feel for the game thing. Yeah,
when to shoot the floater and when to get all the way to the rim. And right. I was actually looking through those numbers. Our friend Keith Parrish sent me some stuff on StatHead this morning. It's a good mix of that, right? Like a lot of these late game shots are Ja getting to the floater like he did last night, like he did against New Orleans. But he also gets all the way to the rim in some of these situations too. And it just feels like he's got this incredible feel for what to do.
100%. You know? 100%. He and that's why, you know, there was always the talk about, you know, this thing for the Grizzlies the last couple of years about, you know, whether it's screen and roll or spread out, and there's the idea of, you spread out and, you know, Jock and go one on one, you get more space, you don't bring people. I think he's good feeling the bodies around him and feeling that space and navigating those small spaces. I think he just has an elevated sense of feeling that around him. And it's not really a problem because he can get into the small crevices and find the space and get shots off.
Isolo made some interesting decisions last night, I thought, especially with the rotation.
Second half,
the game.
Especially.
What did you make of his decisions to sort of move away from some players and go to others?
Well, there's a few things there. I mean, one thing, the last two games, he's tightened the rotation a little bit. It hasn't been the 12, it's been 10, mostly. I think that's a sign of, like, you know, some of the guys. It's one thing to play 12 when you have all your guys. When you're missing five guys, four of which would be in your rotation at any size, then that means when you're playing 12, you're playing like three two-way guys and the 15th and 14th guy on the roster. I just think that's a hard thing to do. So I think it's been a smart adjustment for him to go away from that. I suspect he may want to go back to it when he has reinforcements, and I'm fine with that. But I think, you know, cutting off the bottom of the roster to shrink the rotation has been good. I think in the second half, when Javon Small, who's a rookie second-round draft pick on a two-way contract, who's, I think, acquitted himself well given all that, he struggled in the first half. Then when he started struggling in his first rotation in the third quarter, he adjusted away from that. And that adjustment probably, I don't know if they win the game if he doesn't make that adjustment. He adjusted to Cam Spencer. And I think what we saw from Cam Spencer in the second half was sort of a vision of he shifted into the Ty Jerome role, right? What the Ty Jerome role is going to be, where you're the backup point guard who also plays shifts off ball to play with Morant some, and I think he was effective in that role. The fact that he was able to be effective in that role in that situation, I think, is good, a good sign from Cam Spencer. And then I think closing the game, you know, what we've seen in the last few games is that Cedric Howard and Santi Aldama, who come in together as the first subs, have basically been the co-six men on the team, and then they go with them finishing, I think, was the right move. So I think he made lots of right moves last night. There's one thing I don't like that he's been doing, which we could talk about, but to your point, I think he made lots of adjustments on the fly that helped him win that game.
What do you not like?
So I've mentioned this on social media a couple of times. I feel like I'm being trolled with this one, or maybe he lost a bet. I think maybe Isolo lost a bet.
We got to be careful saying that.
Oh, you're right. I think maybe a friendly challenge was issued. I'm just making stuff up. Maybe a friendly challenge was issued, and it was, what is the least athletic lineup you can put on the floor that includes Ja Morant? And the second most used five-man lineup for the Memphis Grizzlies through five games, the first most used is, of course, the starters, right? The second most used lineup, which was again last night, was Ja Morant surrounded by Cam Spencer, Jalen Wells, John Conchar, and Jock Landale.
Oh, we talked
that
about
lineup
this.
Cannot score. I looked at watching the game. I'm watching it saying this lineup can't score. And then you look at the numbers, and again, it's only five games, but 17 minutes, second most used lineup. They are scoring at a rate of 75 points per 100 possessions, which is putrid. It's just like, it's like Ja, just bail us out. But the funny thing is, the other side of that coin, which is like you take the other five guys in the team in rotation and that lineup, which is the third most used lineup, that lineup's doing great. So I think it's a little. I think this is a journey of discovery. He's got to figure out a balance that'll work a little bit better.
I don't know if you're familiar, but
But that lineup, I can't with this lineup.
It is funny that you bring it up because DeMichael and I were sitting there watching Saturday's game.
Yeah.
And he used that exact lineup.
The last three games, he's gone to it every game. And the last three, it's a more normal rotation, and it cannot score.
And we were joking how there's the internet meme of the exciting whites section of wine. And right. we labeled that lineup the not so exciting whites lineup because, at least it has Ja. I mean, Ja brings it up a little bit.
I think that that's kind of, and this is not the first time this has happened. I think there were some Taylor Jenkins years that were like this, where when you break up your starters, you're trying to figure out these mixed lineups of starters and bench. There's been this thing, and it makes sense. To me, it's a philosophical question. There's not a right or wrong. It's like when you break it up, what do you do with it, right? So who are you putting with Ja? Who are you putting in the non-Ja lineup, right? And what they've tended to do is rely on Ja to elevate other guys who can't create for themselves in the Ja lineups and then stack the non-Ja lineups of more dynamic players, right? There's a logic to that. Like, Ja can create easier shots for guys who can't create for themselves. But I almost think of it the other way. I want to elevate Ja's skill set by giving him guys who can finish, who can play above the rim and catch these passes and help weaponize Ja's creativity. And, like, I'm sorry, the Cam Spencer, John Conchar, Jalen Wells, Jock Landale lineup, that's not weaponizing Ja's speed and passing ability. It's really not.
So we got the Lakers coming in
next. He has not played a lot with Cedric Howard this season relative to other combinations.
Ja?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that actually shows.
Yeah.
The entering last night's game, I mean, it's minuscule sample size, but like Javon Small and Cedric Howard had the best offensive rating as a two-man lineup on the Grizzlies.
Prior to last night, and I'm sure this has changed from last night with the early exit for Javon Small, but through the first four games, Jaren Jackson has played more total minutes with Javon Small than he has with Ja Morant in the first four games of the season.
A lot of that is spacing it out.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's sort of dividing those lineups. And so, you know, it's an ongoing question.
Lakers coming in Friday. Austin Reeves.
He's on one.
Is a flamethrower. Right
yeah.
Now. What do you make of that game?
They're probably going to have Cedric Howard guard them. That's what they've been doing. And to me, that's the wildest thing about the Cedric Howard thing is they're not – I mean, they have Jalen Wells and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on this team, right? You could hide him on a lesser player and let him, like, you know, be more of a, you know, rim protector, you know, secondary rim protector, help defense guy. They've been throwing him on, like, Curry and Booker.
Look, they found the blueprint last year with Jalen Wells.
Yeah, no, this is what they're doing. Feed it early and, like, accelerate this development.
Yeah, that they're following the blueprint for sure. So Austin Reeves had 20 points last night. He hits the game winner against Minnesota. Also, Jake LaRavia,
how about that?
27 points.
Did you see the Anthony Edwards clip?
It is the best. Jeffrey, we may need you to pull that up. We may need you to pull up the Jake LaRavia and Anthony Edwards clip so we can play it. One of the funniest moments of the season in which a fan yells out, who is 12?
Right. Anthony Edwards is injured, not in the game. He's sitting on the bench in a sweatsuit, tracksuit, and he puts his arms out wide and responds to the fan, that's what I'm saying. I don't know either.
Jake LaRavia finally announced himself to the Lakers faithful, it felt like, in the game last night. You got it, Jeffrey? Let's hear it. You can barely hear it,
right.
But you can barely
it's better
hear it.
With video.
You gotta be able to read the lips.
So was LaRavia, did LaRavia wear 12 in college, and now he's able to go back to that because he couldn't wear 12 when he was with the Grizzlies, or is this a Ja Morant homage with his number 12 jersey?
I have no idea what number Jake LaRavia wore in college.
Right.
I can't tell you I watched a ton of Wake Forest basketball.
He wore 0 at Wake.
Okay.
Where did he start? Indiana State, isn't that right?
Illinois, Indiana, I don't know. Not Indiana State, because we would have made a lot of Larry Bird jokes if that were the
case. No, he did.
He did.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we messed up. We should have been making more Larry Bird jokes. I don't know. Maybe it's just a Ja Morant tribute. Maybe it's going to try to get some of that Call 12 dust, rubbed off on him.
Before we get you out of here, I wrote a feature today about the Grizzlies and their tradition of having the rookies go pick up food at South Main Sushi. You made a statement last night on the, or yesterday, I should say, on our podcast that said you know, go eat at your favorite downtown restaurant.
Well, I just don't, to me, I don't want to get derailed on this, but to me, it feels like there was some like civic ordinance passed in the last 5 years that every time you talk about anything Memphis related, you have to do some throat clearing and say, well, of course people are scared to go downtown, or of course, I just reject it all. It's fine. Go downtown. I had drinks with someone a couple weeks ago at this new bar, The Dame, which is in the basement of the Pontotoc Hotel. That's a super cool space. I went downtown before a game recently because I don't live here anymore. I'm not downtown as much. I just went downtown early before a game and to walk around. I walked down Bill and I walked down South Main and went down, you know, to Tom Lee Park. Like, you can go downtown. Like, it's really not that scary.
What are your favorite places to eat down there?
Good Fortune, I like. Yeah. You know, if I'm spending, I like The Lobbyist. I mean, Lobbyist is great, so go there if you can. I don't eat at those kind of places frequently, right?
That was our anniversary dinner.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah. Little Betty, the pizza, actually, we went, when we first got to town, my son, the number one place he wanted to go to back in town was Little Betty, to get the pizza at Little Betty there at the Wiseacre Brewery. That's a great pregame spot.
I think
spot.
The best pizza in Memphis.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I think it's tremendous.
So there's a few spots.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.